This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Yes, 1 week later, my voice still sounds like this. And glad you're with us this morning. I wish we could do the show before the show. And some of the conversations that I walk in on with Carl and Kim when I walk into the studio in the mornings, it's pretty good. Don't you think, Kim?
Yeah, we're talking about if it's surprising that Bill Belichick has just signed a 5-year deal with the University of North Carolina. I think that's surprising. I mean, this is a football icon. This is a coach even I'm well aware of. He could have landed any job he possibly wanted. So I find it very fascinating that of all the places to go, he landed at the University of North Carolina as the new head football coach.
The Babylon Bee said it best. They said Belichick agrees to deal at UNC as long as he can live in his girlfriend's dorm.
Okay, does he have like some 22-year-old girlfriend? Did
He's
I see
got
that?
A much younger girlfriend. I don't know how old she is, but the Babylon Bee kind of nailed that. It is odd. One of the most successful coaches in NFL history would retire and then suddenly pop back up at a mediocre football school at the University of North Carolina. That is a shocking development in anybody's book, I think.
She's 24 years
Carl
old.
Carl didn't think so. You don't.
No, I think that NFL coaches, when they leave the NFL, go to colleges
occasionally.
All the time. She says, Kim's word was interesting.
I find that very fascinating that this is a guy. There are some NFL coaches who have been mediocre, somewhat successful. Bill Belichick, that is just. Icon was the word I used to describe him, and I think that's very fitting.
He's also very odd.
Well, if you're dating a 24-year-old and you're, I think I saw 48 or whatever he is.
Oh, God, he's got to be 60.
65? Well, I guess he just retired.
He's old.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's a 48-year gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, kind of weird.
That's
lots of weird things about that whole thing.
He's a weird dude.
I'm sorry. That is just not okay. What do her parents think of? What? Seriously, are her parents?
He may be older than her.
Excited
dad,
about
I would
that,
guess, right? I don't know. I don't.
Well,
know.
Yeah. If it's a 48-year age gap, my gosh, she could be dating a guy who's close to her grandpa's age.
Oh, jeez.
Grandpa, I think one of your old friends is my new boyfriend. You want to come meet him? I think you may have heard of him.
You know, maybe they're all big Patriots fans, and that's okay with them.
I'm
guess
sorry, that doesn't make it any better.
Guess who's coming to Christmas dinner? Bill Belichick. Wow. We'll have a lot to talk about. Anyway, that's the conversation I walked in on this morning. I thought that was pretty interesting. Coming up on the show today, as my voice hopefully continues to get better throughout the morning, we're going to talk to our old friend Ed Martin. Of course, Ed, I first met Ed when the Tea Party movement got started way back when. I covered that original big gathering they had down here on the Arch grounds years ago when Dana was down there, Dana Lash and Ed Martin and Phyllis Schlafly and the whole group of them. And Ed has now been named to the Trump administration. He's been living out closer to D.C. for a few years now. But we're going to get him on the radio this morning to talk about that. In the 7 o'clock hour, we've got some Styx tickets to give away this morning.
I found something out, Mark.
What's that, Carl?
So not only is it Styx and Kevin Cronin, but Don Felder is going to be there, too. So
how did that not get mentioned?
They did not put that in our copy, and someone told me about that. Hey, how come you guys aren't mentioning Don Felder? So you'll hear a whole bunch of Eagles songs, too.
Wow. Good. All right. Well, that's good to know. As I continue to sound more like RFK Jr. this morning, I'm
Mark,
baffled
wow.
by what's going on with my voice.
You're more Bill Clinton-esque.
We got something from him again this morning, too. Well, he's on a roll trying to defend Hillary all of a sudden. I don't know why, but he's all over the place talking about why she didn't do anything wrong. Does he think Trump's coming after her 8 years later?
Probably.
It's the oddest thing. I just
don't know why the guy's out there digging the hole even deeper, because it's obvious that he's lying.
Well, give him a shovel. Let him dig his hole even deeper, because every time he opens his mouth, it seems like he says something he shouldn't.
Boy, that's the truth. And then the merger thing has raised its ugly head again. We were just talking about this Monday, right? Tuesday. We were just talking about it yesterday. And here we go again. This is, I don't think it goes anywhere, but we're going to talk about why this has been raised again. So stay tuned for that. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is making this announcement right now. He says now is his time to go. As you mentioned, he has a 10-year term. All FBI directors do.
Yeehaw. Yippee-ki-yay. Chris Wray is leaving the FBI a little earlier than normal, because he was on his way out anyway, when you've already named Kash Patel to come in. And guess who holds Epstein's little black book? The director of the FBI. You think he'll take it with him? Think it'll mysteriously disappear before Kash Patel takes over? I'll bet.
We'll say it over and over. Violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial who's allegedly killed the CEO of United Health. But you can only push people so far.
Yeah, if you're a liberal, apparently that's okay. They never said that about the folks on January 6th. But when it comes to killing eight healthcare CEOs, you can only push people so far to make your political point. Right, Elizabeth Warren?
Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones. That mothership is off the east coast of the United States of America.
Yeah, Jeff Van Drew dropping a little bit of a bomb last night. He says he's been told by people in the know that it is Iran who is controlling these drones. And nobody will deny it. And yet they're still letting it happen. What's going on?
They remember how the emails were such a big issue in 2016? Yeah. Trump's State Department found that Hillary sent and received exactly zero classified email.
Hey, he's at it again. I'm more like in this morning. You got Bill Clinton sitting in here. Hillary didn't do nothing. And if Joe Biden wants to preemptively pardon her, I mean, I don't think he needs to because she's innocent, but I'd have that conversation with him.
Your accent is actually really good.
You got to get a little bit of, Arkansas in there. And then when your voice sounds like mine, you can sound just like him. The problem with that argument, Bill, is that it's not true. You're trying to change history when we know what the history is. We all lived through it. It's like claiming you didn't use Monica Lewinsky as a humidor. We all know what the investigation found. We don't have to go back to Ken Starr's report. Everybody knows what the investigation found. And the investigation very clearly, according to James Comey, found that Hillary Clinton did possess top secret emails and did email top secret information from her private email address. Let me remind you, Bill. I'm sorry, is my computer up over here, Carl? Hang on.
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
Now, I don't really care about what Hillary Clinton did anymore. I'm at that point. But I do find it extremely odd that with Republicans about to take over control of the FBI again, I don't know when the statute of limitations expires on the sharing of classified or top secret emails. But James Comey opted to never forward that case to the Department of Justice, which means there's no double jeopardy here. Hillary Clinton could still technically face charges if what James Comey said is true. He opted not to pursue it right before an election in 2016. Bill Clinton is still bitter about the fact that he ever even brought it up.
But nothing would stop Kash Patel from forwarding that same report to the Department of Justice, which might have a very different point of view on it now than the Obama administration would have at the time. So it's just weird that it's all being brought up. Do I think they're out to get Hill? I don't know. If that's true, suicides are going to start popping up all over Washington, D.C. I'll just say that. Maybe Biden does need to partner before he leaves office, along with everyone else. I just thought it was odd that Bill Clinton's brought that up in two different interviews in the past week, second one being yesterday. By the way, T.J. Moe is speaking out again about his tweet on women in football. Like 25 million people have reposted this tweet.
Wow.
And he joined Reardon yesterday afternoon, whose voice is starting to sound like mine. I don't know what's going on around here, but we'll get to more of that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to a quick break. Carl, who's got our national anthem today?
Mark Cox, the Blues are back after a 12-day 4-1, 3-1 road trip, so we're happy about that. Here's Jeremy Boyer, Blues organist.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Let it snow. I love that. Are we going to start playing Christmas music from now on, Carl? Good night.
We can.
Like till the end of the year?
Would you want that?
Not necessarily. But if you really I don't know. I don't care. I don't mind playing it occasionally.
See, I've been in Christmas music mode for quite some time now. Is slowly
dying. I don't care.
It is Frank. We're still goodbying.
I thought it was Dean Martin.
They all do a version. But today would have been Frank Sinatra's 109th birthday.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Frank.
I told you I got to see him one time. I'm very happy that that happened. And I have that memory. He was right at the end of his career. Would have been early 90s. And he was in Cincinnati at their version of Riverport. And they call it River Bend there.
And that one's actually on a river.
Yeah. Don Rickles warmed up for him. It was fantastic.
And was his son leading the band?
I don't remember.
Because when he was here over at the Kiel Center at the time, his son was leading the band, Frank forgot the words.
Oh, he had to use a teleprompter. He was using a teleprompter.
And he apologized, and somebody yelled, "We love you, Frank." And then the whole crowd applauded, and he went on. Yeah. It was
Charo warmed up for Don Rickles, and then Don Rickles warmed up for Frank. It was awesome. It was just...
I'm glad I got to see him.
It was beautiful. Yeah, baby. I tell you what, yesterday I was listening to the Reardon show, and I heard T.J. Moe on there. We've talked about it so much, Kim, about the reaction he's gotten to it. And he said the same thing, that 90% of the women that reacted to it have agreed with him on the whole thing, saying that he pointed out the same thing that I said in reaction to it. It's not a matter of saying that women should not be involved in a football broadcast. It's just the capacity in which they should probably be involved. Here's TJ talking about it yesterday.
And what I'm not saying is, hey, women have no place at all in the world. Because actually, you know who I adored? Sam Ponder. And I'm very upset that she's not involved anymore because she's such a good human being. And she was married to a professional quarterback in Christian Ponder. She, she worked for College Game Day. She was a good sideline reporter. She was qualified to do the job they asked her to do. And these women were not qualified to do the job they asked them to do. And it resonated with everybody. And I'm telling you, if you go look at my mentions, 90% of the women that replied to me said, "Thank God you said that. I totally agree."
I think what matters more is the content that they're sharing, if they're doing any sort of sports analysis, sideline reporting. But it does feel like a DEI type setup when you have three women who've never played football in their lives, not even at the high school or, heck, middle school level, who were standing there after a game and talking about it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it either, but I do feel like there is something to having at least one person standing among the others who can say, well, yeah, when this happens, this is kind of how I've reacted. Like, you have that perspective of, I've been there, done that, and here's my take on what just played out in the field.
TJ said something else that, if he tweeted it out, might have gotten a similar reaction. I don't know. Kim, you tell me how you feel about this. He was talking about a female play-by-play caller on a Mizzou game a couple years ago. Beth Mullen is her name. Listen.
You know, it's like it just feels like it comes better with a deeper voice. And there are women with deeper voices, I guess. I haven't heard too many of them. So, but you had Luther Burden a couple years ago score a touchdown on a punt return. And Beth Mullen's is calling it as though she has the voice of Mike Kelly. Luther Burden to the house! And I'm like, holy cow.
It does feel, I guess, weird to hear a woman doing play-by-play, or it would. I don't know how often I've heard that, but is it weird because we're not used to it, or is it weird because it's just, you know, is that the real reason why it feels weird to us?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways to call a touchdown if you're emulating someone who's really good at it, like Kelly. That's how you do it, I guess. But I don't know. The timbre of the voice makes a difference for some people, I guess. Maybe if it was tennis, they'd feel differently about it. I don't know. I think overall I agree with TJ, though, generally speaking. I'll just have to say that. Coming up, we will get to Kim on a Whim right after this break. Stay right there.
Kim on a Whim.
If you had to grade the Postal Service right now on how reliable they are, how efficient they are, do they deliver your packages, your mail on time, what kind of a grade do you think most people, or what kind of a grade would you give them?
To grade them for what?
Service overall. Do they get your packages? Does the mail you send out, does it get there on time?
I am disappointed. I would give them a C these days. I mailed a simple birthday card on Monday to a friend in Ohio, and I don't have any confidence it's going to get there by Saturday for his birthday. I'll just tell you that I've lost confidence in their ability to deliver things on time. So
I have too.
C, maybe.
Funny, because I Googled it and it said most people would probably rate them a C.
Huh.
I've done, as a reporter, I covered so many issues with USPS and, you know, people just not getting things on time, and they always have their reasons why that is the way that it is. And I just ordered something from Walmart the other day, and I noticed that they now go through FedEx. I think about it. Amazon does its own delivery because they're all about the two-day delivery. A lot of these bigger companies, I think, are doing their own thing, and they're not going through USPS. They're going through FedEx, or they're going through UPS, or they have their own system set up.
I just, other than having to occasionally mail a bill, most of our bills are paid electronically now. Most of the mail I get in my mailbox is junk or a bill of some sort that I have to then pay electronically. I can't remember the last time I went to the post office, except maybe to buy stamps. And I think back about it, there was a time in this country when with a great deal of confidence, you could mail a letter from New York City, understanding that at some point when it got to a certain point west, it was going to be loaded into the saddlebags of somebody on a horse who was going to have to get on the horse and ride 100 miles to the next town to get it delivered. And I felt you had a better opportunity for success with that system than the one we have now. That's sad.
That is very sad.
You should have more confidence in the U.S. Postal Service.
So you're giving the Postal Service a C mark. Well, the Postmaster himself, this is Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, he gives the Postal Service an A. And there was a really kind of intense congressional hearing. This is with the House Oversight Committee, where he was brought there to talk about the performance of USPS.
Yes.
And he had, like I said, given himself an A for his tenure. And one of the congressmen from Georgia, Rich McCormick, he was not happy with the fact that the postmaster thinks that he has earned an A grade. Listen to part of this exchange.
You, sir, do not get an A grade. You cannot give yourself that grade.
I just did.
You can't.
You can't
grade your own paper, sir. I've been to medical school.
Well, then
I got my MBA. You can't. I'm sorry. You are graded by the United States people. and they don't use your service anymore. You bankrupt.
That is not true.
You
that
bankrupt this true, through, sir, your
my
reputation
business
only.
Is growing.
Through your
my
reputation,
business is growing.
You are responsible for the fall of the Postal Service
now,
and the lack
Congress,
of accountability.
Congress is responsible for the fall of the Postal
so it's
Service. I am trying to fix. I am trying to fix
on your
the
watch,
Postal Service.
With all the AI.
Before my watch, the same stuff happened.
With all the AI, with all the computer systems, you're worse than if I took
you're
a horse
to yourself,
and picked up the mail and delivered it 2 miles down the road. That's you. I hope you got that on camera. This is the response that the postmaster just gave Congress when he doesn't like what he hears. Literally covered his ears and gave himself the grade of A. And with that, sir, I rest.
Can you believe it? How childish of a postmaster to cover his ears
like a 5-year-old. He put his hands up on his ears and quit listening.
Wow.
It was pretty funny, but you had to know he was going to draw the ire of that congressman who was already mad at him when he acted like a 5-year-old and plugged his ears.
It's interesting. Trump appointed this guy, so you wonder what's going to happen now. But when you actually look at the numbers, and James Comer pointed this out, he said, look, USPS lost nearly $10 billion this year, and the estimated loss for USPS next year is expected to be about $6.5 billion. So how DeJoy can sit there and say, you know what, I'd like to give myself an A. How can you even say that with a straight face?
Here's my take on it. I know some great people who have worked for and continue to work for the post office, and I think it's largely a thankless job because when I do go to get stamps, it seems like there's always a line. There's only two people working. For the most part, they're always pleasant, despite all the BS they have to put up with people asking dumb questions. But what I've started doing now when I go to mail something is I want to track it. I want a receipt when it arrives, and that way I know it's going to get there. Somebody used the example one time, if you're so confident in the Postal Service, and this was in relation to voting by mail, go to a post office down the street and mail yourself $500 in cash. If you're that confident in the Postal Service, go put $500 bill in an envelope and $500 bills and mail it to yourself. And if you're not confident enough to do that, we have a problem. So part of the problem is technology, just like the congressman said. People aren't using the Postal Service as much. Now, you would think that would make their service easier, but they still have to go to every mailbox on every street in America every day and deliver junk mail or whatever the case may be. What's the disconnect? I mean, I don't know why that isn't easy to fix.
I agree. And DeJoy, I guess, has been trying to add some 100,000 workers. So you think the combination of people not using it as much, they're turning to FedEx or UPS or whatever the case may be, and them adding workers, you'd think that they would be super fast at this point. In fact, I remember when I was at KMOV, there were so many complaints about USPS that we went to all these different post offices all over the St. Louis area and mailed letters back to KMOV to see how quickly they'd get back. And some of them took well over a week. I can't recall which one. I mean, we were everywhere.
Yeah.
Different counties. It was sad. Really sad. I would think if I'm mailing something here in the St. Louis area that it would get there, if it's going locally, within a day or two max.
Wouldn't
if I'm
you
mailing
think?
Something to, you know, today, I expect it Saturday morning, if not tomorrow. If we're talking just 20, if that, miles down the road. I understand if it's a different state or whatever the case may be, but it's been bad. Maybe there will be an overhaul of this. I know they're looking at this for Doge, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, among the many areas of the federal government that they're looking at, ways to cut. What are we doing that's not working, that's now a waste of money? Might be one of them.
A while back, they looked at reducing how many days a week they deliver, or not delivering on Saturdays anymore, or just delivering Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or something like that. And that was rejected as a possibility. I don't know how much the role the union played in that, because I do think that probably played a role in how they can control labor.
Here's something that I find interesting. You know how they always give you the date that you have to ship something by or send something by in order to get it there for Christmas? If I'm remembering correctly, I thought it was typically December 20th would be the general cutoff day. Now I'm looking at it, it says December 18th for USPS Ground Advantage, December 18th for first class mail, and December 19th for priority mail. So maybe they're doing little changes like that, like, ooh, it's going to take us a little bit longer to guarantee that it's going to get there by Christmas.
I am getting ready to mail some gifts to some people, as I talked to you about a few minutes ago off the air, and I'm going to try to mail it today because I just don't have a lot of confidence if I wait any longer that it'll get to where it's going, because it's going to the East Coast. And I've three different people on the East Coast, and I'm just not convinced that it gets there by Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Well, my husband and I were talking about this last night, and he was saying that, and I could be not telling the story correctly, but is it that FedEx was actually an idea by some high school student or college student who was trying to come up with a solution to how slow USPS is, and they initially thought that it was a stupid idea, that the whole FedEx concept would never work, and then look how much it took off.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. I seem to remember some version of that, but I can't bring up names or anything in my mind.
Well, maybe.
But it worked beautifully. Look at Amazon.
I know.
I used to think that was the stupidest thing ever, or that it was an inferior product or whatever. And now I would much rather get on my computer and order something that's going to be there maybe this afternoon than fight the traffic on Mid Rivers Mall Drive to drive to the Home Depot. I mean, honestly, sometimes it's just easier.
And sometimes it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I've seen products in store and you go on Amazon and it's like a dollar or two, but still that adds up.
Yeah.
I hate that I like Amazon. I don't want to because I don't like what the company stands for. But we're at the point in society where so many of these companies are woke, you have to pick and choose.
But I still like to, I also will say that I like to go to local brick and mortar businesses.
Yes, I like to support local when I can, absolutely.
I'll just say it out loud. If you're looking for something specific to repair your home, you're going to get much better help generally at Ace Hardware than you're going to find at Home Depot, where sometimes you can fire a gun down the aisle and not hit anybody, right? You can't find help, but there's always somebody at an Ace Hardware that can help you.
Not only that, but when you talk to these sometimes kids at Home Depot, nothing against them, because I actually do really like Home Depot. Some of them have not a clue what a screw even is.
I'm
like, what? Some of them are very knowledgeable. Same with Lowe's. But man, I've talked to some and I'm like, do you even know what this is? Have you ever seen a screwdriver?
It's hard to get
good help. Do you know what that is? Should I show you a picture of one? Can you please help me?
It's hard to get good help
these days customer service. It's over there.
I'm not saying I haven't.
Walk me to the aisle, please. Show me where it is. Don't just tell me, it's in the back left corner of the store, aisle over there.
Michelle says, when I walk into Home Depot, I look for somebody that reminds me of my dad, and that's the person I try to talk to, because they're most likely to have good information for me. That is funny. All right, but true. Funny, but true. All right, good one. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this situation with these drones, because, my goodness, we now seem to know maybe where they're coming from and still won't do anything about it. Are they waiting for some terrorist attack before they react? What's going on? We'll get to that coming up.
Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones. That mothership is off. I'm going to tell you the deal. It's off the east coast of the United States of America. They've launched drones. Is everything that we can see or hear. And again, these are from high sources. I don't say this lightly. Now, you know, we know there was a probability it could have been our own government. We know it's not our own government because they would have let us know. It could have been some really glorified hobbyist or hobbyists that were doing something unbelievable. They don't have the technology.
So Congressman Jeff Drew there, and here's the thing. I don't know what kind of mothership he's talking about. I would assume it's a physical ship. I didn't know the Iranians had a ship capable of crossing the ocean, but I guess they do. It's the extent of my national security experience. What is the mothership? Is it a spaceship? Is it an airship? Something is launching drones that are targeting sensitive areas over the east coast of the United States. And we're like, ho-hum, let's deal with this another day. That seems to be the attitude. And here's another problem. Another problem is leadership. A lot of this is happening in New Jersey. And my guess is, because of the vacuum of leadership we have in the White House right now, it's not more of a priority. Here are a couple of – this is the governor of New Jersey. He's some joker named Phil Murphy. He almost got beat by a Republican in the last election up there. Here's what he said about it Tuesday. Listen. Oops, hold on. That would be operator error on my part. Phil Murphy, governor of New Jersey.
These are apparently very, as I understand it, very sophisticated. The minute you get eyes on them, they go dark. And, you know, we're obviously most concerned about sensitive targets and sensitive critical infrastructure. So we've got military assets, we've got utility assets, we've got the president-elect's one of his homes here.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So he's admitting that. Do you know what we have on some of our guided frigates and destroyers in the Navy? We have something called the Aegis Weapons System. And it doesn't matter if a drone goes dark. If something is within, 2 or 3 miles of one of these warships, this thing goes into effect like a Gatling gun, and it fires rounds at these things until they don't exist anymore. Now, if we destroy them, we're never going to know where they came from, but it's going to send a strong message to whoever's trailing our Coast Guard or some of these other ships that we're not putting up with this stuff.
Right. Flying over military areas.
Yeah, why would we let any of this exist even for a minute? Like the Chinese spy balloon that we let float all the way across the country, because I saw it here in St. Louis.
How many days was that up in the air before they finally shot it down?
I don't know. Way too long.
Yeah. Harris Faulkner, that's who she was doing that interview with, Congressman Van Drew. And I thought she said these drones in some cases were the size like of an SUV.
Really?
I'd heard they were bigger than your average drone you'd get if this is just a hobby for you. But she made some comment about them being that big, which I did not even know that existed.
Well,
I'm sure it does, but I just have never seen that.
You know, I pulled the Aegis thing out of my hat just because I happen to be aware of it. That's old technology for the U.S. I'm sure we've got newer technology that could jam the whoever's controlling these drones. Somebody, they've got to receive their commands from somewhere.
Intercept, right.
Right.
We have so much technology. You'd think at this point we would be able to, at the very least, to do that, to intercept the signal where we can get it where they can't fly. What were they talking about this morning on the Gordon Deal show, that they need to mandate where they're not, to ban anyone flying a drone at night? I'm like, come on, that's the best you can do? That's stupid.
That's like putting up a no gun sign on the front door of your business, the thing that's going to protect you from thieves. They don't care that you have a ban on drones. They're going to fly them anyway. It's just dumb. I want somebody to knock one of these things out of the sky and figure out where it came from. And the fact that there's been such mild reaction to it is just that it's dumbfounding to me. I can't wrap my brain around that. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Jennifer Nassar. We've had her on before. She's founder of the Pocketbook Project. And whether or not Joe Biden might pardon people like Liz Cheney before he leaves office. He just issued a bunch of clemency orders yesterday. We'll talk more about that coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.